It's time for Your Pet's Health, brought to you by Pet Docs Veterinary Hospital in Moorhead City. Pet Docs, your other family doctor.
And welcome to Your Pet's Health with Dr. Todd Worrell, who's with us here today, taking your calls too at 800-818-2255 or the local numbers
247-7282 or 353-4674.
Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Ben.
What do you have for us today?
Well, I want to talk about some recalls again. February was pretty busy with recalls. We've been fairly slow until this week with recalls. There are two that occurred on Monday that I wanted to mention. And it just so happens we talked last week about the study from the Netherlands with the different raw foods and all the different things they had found. Well, there's two of these are raw food products. There's Blue Ridge Beef is the name of the company. They have something called a complete pet food. It's in these little 2-pound tubes, frozen tubes. They call them chubs. And actually, these were distributed in the southeast, so Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee. They found, the FDA, that is, found salmonella and listeria in each of the, or in those, in that particular lot. The other one that also happened on the same day, and this is a little unusual to have two sort of dual contaminant recalls, but the other one is Darwin's Natural Pet Products, which is, I believe, a cat food that tested positive for salmonella and E. coli.
Both are raw food things.
Both are raw food products, right. And the irony of the name is certainly, certainly not lost. In fact, with the Darwins, actually a kitten had died from the salmonella.
So much for survival of the fittest.
Right. That, sparked the investigation into that one. So I did want to mention those two. And then there was another one, this week that was from the, again, the Smucker, the Smucker's company, which we had one, I think in February that was a recall from them. This was one of their treat products. It's for a different reason though than the bacterial contamination. This was their Milo's Kitchen. Steak grillers and then grilled burger bites that are just little treats. They were actually were recalled because they potentially contain high levels of beef thyroid hormone. Which is not a not unusual. The thyroid is along with a lot of the other parts of the animals are put into pet foods. You know, we kind of cringe sometimes, but those are things that are actually considered delicacies in other cultures. There have been three reports of illnesses with that particular product. Symptoms are not serious. Increased thirst, urination, weight loss possibly, restlessness. As soon as the product is stopped, the issue is resolved. So it's not a huge issue. But there again, just goes to show you sort of the variety of different reasons and the different things that are being looked at, you know, in the regulatory monitoring process.
Were all these possibly available here around this area?
I don't know about the – I would imagine the Smucker's probably would be because that's probably going to get distributed through most of your national chains. And it looks like the BRB, the Blue Ridge Beef, was distributed in North Carolina. I don't know about this area, though.
Right, now, if you want to find out more about those, you can go on to the FDA's website, right?
Exactly. And they'll have they have a food recall, pet food recall
page.
Then that all those things should be there, and you just look within the last week and you'll find all of those.
Yeah, if you go just Google FDA pet food recall and you can get to that page. I did it while you were talking, so
it's pretty easy to get to.
But it is a little scary though, because you do see some big companies and then occasionally some little companies, well, you know, a lot of these micro companies or smaller companies are very popular because they're believed to have had fresher ingredients, et cetera.
Exactly.
But they may not have the safety protocols.
And then again, like you mentioned with the larger companies, sometimes the safety protocols don't prevent problems. The protocols and the oversight is meant to, with the recognition that sometimes things are going to slip through, and we want to try and catch those and correct it and remedy those situations.
Because most times they're going to be contracting that out, or they have their own facility, but the issue comes up.
And
there, it does
again,
happen.
It depends on the size of the company exactly.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Other thing I wanted to mention, which was really surprising, this is in our backyard. This, and you may have seen this or mentioned it on the show this week, but it's the two dogs in Wake County that were found dead from mushroom.
Oh, no, toxicity. No, I didn't see that.
This was really sad. This is a younger lady that has six dogs. She works with a foster group and she just happens to have six of her own dogs. but a 3-year-old St. Bernard and an 8-year-old Labrador mix. She came home and they were just deceased.
Right.
And her other 4 dogs were showing some very strange symptoms, stumbling around, vomiting, that sort of thing. So she rushed them, obviously, to the veterinarian. And what they turned out to discover was that they had come across, a small patch in her mulch around. So not out in the yard, which is where I usually see mushrooms, but in the mulch, had come across this death cap or death angel mushroom. And the genus name is Amanita. I guess is how that's pronounced.
That's for the next show, though.
You're exactly. All right. You can get a clarification on that in a minute. But it does cause liver failure and neurologic symptoms. There is no antidote to it. And dogs, when they ingest it, they go basically 24 to 48 hours from perfectly healthy to deceased.
So, but they all got into it, though. That's the
apparently they all
part.
Got into it, exactly. And the really scary thing about mushrooms is there's really, you know, if you look up this death cap or death angel, there's some sort of prototypical pictures that you'll find, but they can look different than those. So there's really not a standard appearance to most of these mushrooms. They're very, you know, the vast majority of mushrooms are very safe, of course, but the problem is it's very difficult to discern, you know, unless you're a very highly trained mycologist to be able to discern the differences in these. And so the best policy is
Goodness, they look just like any other mushroom grows in the yard.
Yeah. So if you the best policy is to get these out of the yard, obviously, and don't do like I used to do, which is just run over them with the lawnmower. You actually want to pull them up and you know, put them in a trash bag, dispose of them, get them out of there. Again, you don't know which ones are, don't assume that they're all, you know, this dangerous type, but yeah, that was a really sad story.
Or don't assume they're safe. I think
don't assume they're safe. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just don't assume. Just get them out of there is the best policy.
Okay, we have Patsy and Havelock who wants to join us here this morning. Good morning, Patsy. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Happy Holy Week.
Yes, happy Holy Week to you.
Dr. Todd, yes. My dog eats a lot of grass. Is there a reason for that? And this may be a silly question, but is there any grass that is bad that he should not, that he can get a hold of?
Probably good to dovetail off this last conversation.
Right. No, that is actually an excellent question. I'm not aware of any grasses. Or I don't think any weeds either that are dangerous for dogs to eat. So that's the good news is they can do that without you having to worry about them getting into something toxic.
Again, stay tuned. We'll ask our next guest about that one.
Exactly. Now, as far as why they chew grass, that's a very or eat grass, that's a very common question, and I think there are a lot of different answers depending on the dog. Some dogs just like the way it tastes, like to chew on something. Some dogs will do it because they're feeling a little upset to their stomach sometimes. And then, of course, the flip side of that, too, is the case in some dogs. They're feeling fine. They go out and eat grass. And
now they're upset.
Now they're having an upset stomach. But there's really not a nutritional deficiency issue. People will ask that sometimes. Does it mean he's not getting enough of such and such in his diet? And there really isn't a nutritional reason for that. I mean, obviously, it provides roughage if they actually ingest it. Some dogs just like to chew it, and then they'll spit it out, too.
Okay.
So it just depends on the dog, really. And
maybe
probably
be
not
like
so much
other animals who like, especially the young shoots of grass.
Oh, exactly. And this is the time of year they tend to do it most, but when they're fresh and green and it looks different, you know, than what they've been looking at for the last 3 or 4 months. So that's probably the best answer that I can give you on that one.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Y'all have a blessed Easter.
All right. Thank you, Patsy. And there you go. And we'll take a break. We'll come back with more here with Dr. Todd Arell from Pet Docs Veterinary Hospital here on the Talk Station, 800-818-2255. Here's our toll-free number from anywhere in the lower 48 and a few Canadian provinces. And you can also reach us at 247-7282 or 353-4674. Welcome back to Your Pet's Health with Dr. Todd Orell. And what else do you have for us, Todd?
Want to mention, we've talked in the past about Lyme disease, of course, in dogs.
Yeah.
And we've talked a little bit about a disease that's transmitted by ticks called Ehrlichia. Starts with an E, mm-hmm. Ehrlichia. And actually, Ehrlichia is very common in this area. We're in kind of a hotbed. The southeast is really commonplace for that, as opposed to Lyme disease you traditionally think of as up in the northeast. But there's an interesting study done, and this does not show causation, but it's an interesting thing to look at, where they looked at dogs that had positive either Lyme or Ehrlichia test.
Mm-hmm.
And what they found was they had a much higher rate of developing kidney disease, chronic kidney disease, later on. In the Lyme disease, which we've always known there's a connection between Lyme disease and kidney disease, about a 43% increase in developing kidney disease. With the Ehrlichia, is a 300% increase.
Wow.
So fourfold increase. Now, that does not mean, this is just looking at sort of trends. It does not mean that the one causes the other, or that there may not be other issues going on with dogs that have Ehrlichia that may be leading to the mm-hmm. kidney disease. So it's not a, this leads to that, but it does give us the opportunity because we test for these things every day. Lyme disease and Ehrlichia is part of our heartworm test, which we do on a routine basis. So what it does do for us is it allows us, when we see a positive, say, okay, maybe we'll treat this, but we also need to be looking at this patient down the road for kidney disease.
Find out more at PetDocs.com, PetDocs.com, or call PetDocs Veterinary Hospital at 240-3885. See you next time.